someone asked a small boy, what was his interpretation? What did he think was meant by the term the Holy Trinity? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And this is what the little boy said. Jesus is God's Son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on the water and performing miracles and trying to teach people who didn't want to learn about God. And they finally got tired of him preaching it to them, and they crucified him. But he was good and he was kind, and his Father was loving. And so he told his Father, says, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. And God, his Father, says, okay, I'll forgive them. But God didn't let Jesus stay in the grave when they crucified him. But they raised him from the dead. God appreciated everything that Jesus had done. So he told him that you can stay in heaven since you did so good on earth. And I'll send the Holy Spirit to work on earth. Now, all three of them, they listen to our prayers, and they see things which are important to God, and they let God know so God can take care of it. You can pray anytime you want to, and they're sure to help you because they got it all worked out so that one of them is on duty all the time. In our scripture today, we see a traveling Jesus working hard, just like this little boy said. Jesus is trying to reach as many people as possible with the message of hope and love. He traveled to the Gentile territory more than one time. He traveled to the Samaritan towns. He took his disciples with him so that they would understand that they could not stay in one place and expect to fulfill the mission from God. My text today is from the book of Mark, St. Mark, chapter 6, verses beginning with verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. And as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, if you will skip with me down to verse 53. And when they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat there. And when they got out of the boat, the people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into the villages or the cities or the farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace and they begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this particular story from the book of Mark, we're told that the disciples got the picture of what Jesus was trying to get them to see. For many were coming and going, and these guys didn't even have time to eat, because everywhere they went, there was people that needed to be ministered to. There were sick people. So Jesus told the disciples, says, we need to get away for a while. We need some little R&R, some relaxing, rest and relaxation, and we just need to regroup here. So they went away to a desert place. But the scripture tells us that the people recognized them, and they ran ahead of the boat as they were crossing the water, and they were waiting for them when the boat docked. Jesus didn't tell them, hey, now look, we've got to have some time by ourselves now. We've just done all we can do. We just got to get away for the weekend. We need to rest. Jesus didn't say that. He was moved with compassion. He was concerned about everything that was bothering them. He knew that they were like the sheep that had no shepherd. So we see here a very active Jesus. When the people recognized Jesus, they started scurrying around, and they'd get a mat with a sick person on it, and they'd take it up to where they could, maybe Jesus would heal this person. Let's look closer at verse 56. Wherever he went, villages, cities, or farming communities, they would place the sick in the marketplace and beg him to allow them to just touch the hem of his clothing. And everyone who touched him was healed. Wherever he went, they begged to just let me touch him. And when they did, they were healed. I preached a few weeks ago about the woman who had the bleeding disorder. And she said in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that God will heal me. I know I'll be healed if I could just touch Jesus. Well, in my mind, after I preached that sermon, I filed that sermon and that incident under miracles because of faith. I thought that this woman who reached out and touched Jesus, it was just a one-time thing. But it wasn't. As we see here in Mark today, Jesus, being divine, he could have spoken the words and says, be healed, and everybody in the crowd would have been healed. But it didn't happen that way. God doesn't work that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It is impossible to get to God and to gain his attention without going through Jesus. We must learn one major lesson today. God wants to heal us physically, spiritually, financially. But God's not going to run us down and say, hey, come here. Come here, Daniel, I want to heal you. Come here, Carol, I want to heal you. He doesn't work that way. Remember in last Sunday's sermon, I said that God has instilled within us a free will. We must decide individually to reach out and touch Jesus. We have to make that decision for ourselves. He's not going to say, y'all, come on now, I want to heal you. I think about Lazarus, Jesus' friend, when he died. Jesus went to the tomb, to the grave, and he called, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he do that? And he went to the tomb and he said, come forth. All them dead people would have come out. It wouldn't have just been Lazarus. There would have been a whole multitude. Everybody that was dead on that mountainside in those tombs would have come to life. So Jesus is saying to us, we must take a stand. God's not going to run us down and say, come here, I want to heal you. We have to decide. We have to use that free will that I preached about last Sunday. There was nothing miraculous about the hem of Jesus' garment. There's nothing, no healing powers in the hem of his robe. But it's a personal faith in Jesus Christ that causes us to be healed. They begged Jesus to come close enough that they could just reach out and touch him. And you know what he did? He moved out away from that boat dock. And he went on out among the people where they were so that they could have access to him. So that they could just reach out and touch him and be healed. Sometimes we as Christians have to step out of our comfort zone so that we can touch the lives of the people that we come in contact with. Are we begging Jesus to come near us today? I seriously doubt it. These people begged Jesus. Do you need healing today? What keeps people from begging the Lord? Nobody wants to think about having to beg anybody for anything. You know, we're somewhat independent. I was always taught as a child that God helps those that help themselves. But there are times in your life when you get to the point you can't help yourself. I have been sick enough physically in my life that I couldn't help myself. I was totally dependent upon others for nursing care. And that's not a fun feeling. People don't want to cry out to God. They don't want to come forward and say, I'm sick. People don't want the public to know that they have an area in their life that they need to touch Jesus for. They don't want to do anything publicly. And how often we as Christians forget that Jesus died publicly for us. He died on that cross a shameful death for us. He stepped out of the comfort zone of his heavenly Father and did all of the things that he did for me and for you, for every one of us today. People don't want today to be anointed and prayed over. They want to sit back and ask, God, please help me. They expect God to do things for them, yet they do nothing. And then they wonder why they get nothing in return. It's not just enough to recognize intellectually that Jesus can help us. We must demonstrate our faith and our obedience through an act of faith. Those who touched him were made whole, and all who were sick were healed. So what was going on with this crowd of people? Every one of them just about it was sick. The word sick, as used in this context, is an all-inclusive term. It refers from suffering from weakness of any kind, whether it be a physical weakness, a psychosomatic, an emotional, an economic sickness, a relational sickness. And the list goes on and on and on. You could think of hundreds of different kinds of sickness. Whatever causes us to say, I'm hurt. It may be my feelings that got hurt. I'm in pain. I don't feel good. The awesome power of Jesus and his grace today is sufficient for every one of us if we would just believe. Amen. Each one of us today has things in our life that we need to touch Jesus for. But you say we're living 2,000 years later after the ascension of Jesus back to the Father. How can we possibly touch him? Maybe he needs to touch us instead of us trying to touch him, because it would be totally impossible for him to physically walk around here. He's in heaven. It would be nice. Then we could just sit back and continue to do nothing. We must do something. We must touch Jesus. And how can we do that? There are several ways that we can prepare ourselves today to touch Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." We can prepare ourselves today to touch Jesus through prayer. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive." We can prepare ourselves through reading the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 16, Paul told Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to the doctrine. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear you." We can prepare ourselves today to touch Jesus by uniting with other believers in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, "Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." This is what we do when we ask for prayer requests here on Sunday mornings. And the outreach team takes it a step further by meeting on Thursday evenings and going over the list of needs among the people and friends and family of our Bethel Church and praying for them, as well as planning to make contacts with these people in some way. You may be thinking, "Now, wait a minute. I have prayed for years and years and years, and God still has not answered my prayer. You say he hears me." Well, that's hard for me to accept if nothing's happened. Remember James chapter 4, verse 3. "You ask, and you do not receive, because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on pleasures." That would be like praying to God and ask him to give me traveling grace to go to Las Vegas to see my sister when I'm going to Las Vegas to spend what I have saved for my Las Vegas trip in a casino. I'm praying for safety. I'm praying for guidance. I'm praying for traveling grace to go gamble. I'm asking and praying amiss. James is telling us that sometimes prayers are not answered because we want God to do for us, but we want to maintain our friendship with the world. There's a verse in Revelation, and I cannot remember where. It was in the letter to the Laodicean church, where the Lord said, "Because you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." We have got to make a total commitment to Jesus Christ in order for him to hear and answer our prayers. We're all aware of the power of prayer. Many of us have areas in our life that We need to touch Jesus. Now, if you're so blessed that you don't need anything from the Master's touch, surely you know someone that does. And I pray this morning that we will hide this Matthew 18:19 in our hearts. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you of my Father in heaven. That is one reason that we say amen when we finish a prayer. That's saying, so be it, or I agree in the name of Jesus. We're agreeing that we're touching Jesus. We have friends and we have family today that need to touch Jesus. Every one of us knows somebody that needs to touch Jesus. And as we as children of God are gathered together today, let us agree together that all of these people that need to touch Jesus will reach out and touch him. There are several ways that I have talked about that you can prepare yourself to touch Jesus. But the only way that we can touch him is we just have to believe. When we call on his name, believe. When you call on his name, it's simple. When a child, Christian's age, calls on his mama or his daddy or his grandma or his grandpa, he knows that whatever he wants, he's going to get an answer. It might not be what he wants to hear, but he'll get an answer. And that's the same way with our Heavenly Father. When we call on him today, he hears and he answers because he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus Christ is walking through this sanctuary today. He's close enough right now that you can reach out and you can touch him. Reach out by faith and touch him today, and he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Do you need to touch him today? This altar is open. Our altars here are always open. If you need to come and pray, we'll be glad to pray with you this morning. Come to him today as he draws near to you. Reach out and touch him.